blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 109, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. The offering on the altar burned gives no delight to thee. The hearing ear, the willing heart, thou givest unto me. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 109.
Thank you. Scripture reading for this evening can be found in the Gospel of John and thereof chapter 19. John 19, beginning with verse 25 to the end. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bear record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture might be fulfilled, a bone of him should not be broken. And again another scripture saith, They shall look on him whom they pierced. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen clothes, with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all-knowing, all-sufficient God of the heavens and of the earth, we may gather in this weekday in commemoration of that great event which thou thyself has brought to pass already so many years ago, in accordance with all the prophecies of thy holy word, even from the time that sin did enter into this world, and when thou didst declare it here below, that thou wouldst send one who would bruise the head of Satan. Lord, then it is a great wonder that may be commemorated in this day. It is that which had to take place only in the mind of thee as that infinitely wise God. For no man could think of such a way wherein such a deliverance could be given to those who justly have deserved an eternal punishment. Oh, that thou wouldst give thy church in this day to marvel at thy deeds, that thy wonders may be given in the heart to bring it out in true gratitude to thee, who has cared for all things that thou hast done for thy church, and will care for it also to the end of this world, even to the bringing in of the last one. And we have commemorated it with our children as so many times in our life. But what has now been the profit? O Lord, thou knowest what is necessary also for the application. Then it cannot be that we do joy in the death of thy dear Son, if we have never sorrowed over our worthiness of death, if we have never sorrowed over our own sin, to see the blessedness of he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered, to say, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Then we go on through our life over this world as those who have not a care, who do not see what our sin is, that we are blind to our own wretchedness and to our own sinfulness. We have a conscience that speaks a little bit, and we step upon it and we put it aside, and we go on with the thought that we shall live forever, and that that truth of thy word shall never be fulfilled, and that we shall be called before thy judgment seat to give an account of all that we have done, whether it be good or whether it be evil. O Lord, that thou would bind that matter upon our heart, that the application also of thy meritorious work and may be experienced by young and old also in the day in which we are living, that we may be brought to that place of thy servant who did say, I will confess my iniquity before the Lord and tell him all my sin. That our bones may be given to wax old through our roaring all the day long, when our mouth is yet silent, and when we confess not yet unto thee. That thou wouldst lay it upon us as it is in reality, for it lays on the account of each and every one of us, and it is not to be wiped away, and not one jot and not one tittle of all that we have done. O Lord, then it is all recorded in that book of thy remembrance, and it shall all be declared on that last and great and notable day, and before all the world, when we are called and set, some on the right hand and some on the left. Then the sin of thy church that shall be buried in that sea of everlasting forgetfulness, when thou wilt look upon thy dear Son, and in him whom thou art well pleased declare thy church to be free. That thou wilt say unto them, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for thee from the foundation of the world. That thou wouldst give thy people also the knowledge of those matters,
that they may seek to be established in that faith, that they may receive the blessed assurance and comfort and rest that is able to be received. Oh, that they may be given to seek it with their whole heart. For thy bride did say, draw me, we will run after thee, and when thy children will come, Lord, thou knowest that others also will be drawn. And wilt thou do it in the midst of us in thy mercy? That while we are still in the day of grace, and then the commemoration of this thy death, and may make a deep impression upon the souls of those whose eyes are closed, whose ears are closed, whose heart is closed. That thou wouldst open them, O Lord, and wilt thou show the great cause of death in the day that thou eatest thereof, and thou shalt surely die. That sin may become sin unto us, and that we ourselves may become the sinner before God. That arrow of conviction and conversion may be shot into the hearts of young and old, and that thy dear Son may be revealed in the hearts of those who do not know how to be saved. Lord, that thou wouldst open him, that thou wouldst come with thy Spirit, who is able to reveal and to show unto us all things, that those who are needy, that those who are afflicted, that those who are poor, that they may receive a blessed sight of him, in that upon that cursed tree, whose side was pierced, and therewith came out blood and water. Then thy church can be forgiven, and thy church can be washed and cleansed and sanctified, and they shall be glorified and brought into that blessed communion with the Father through the Son, to spend a never, never ending eternity in thy blessed presence, glorifying the work of thy dear and thy beloved Son, in whom thou art so well pleased. And then their song shall be a pitch higher than the song of the angels. And then they shall say, not unto us, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. Give in the hearts of thy children, that they may look forward to that day, when they lay sin all aside, and when this body of death shall be put down, and when this mortality shall put on an incorruption. Then they shall receive that desire of their heart that was planted in the day of that new birth, and then they shall receive that blessed and that everlasting life with their dear Redeemer. Do give that their hearts may burn more and more in the days in which we live, wherein Satan goes about as a roaring lion and as an angel of light to destroy. And when we see the footsteps of the Son of Man coming upon the clouds of heaven, that together we may receive that urgency to make haste for the sake of our life, both young and old, that thou wouldst put away the devices of the devil, and wilt thou spare us yet from that which is coming upon the world. Lord, give us a good hour together in thy favor, whether at home or in thy house. Be thou amongst us as one that serveth, and be with thy Spirit going forth from heart to heart and from pew to pew. We remember that Father that we see in our midst in this evening. O Lord, then he may come up amongst us. Wilt thou help him further? And wilt thou heal him and strengthen him? Remember all the afflicted and the sick ones, those that are not able to go unto thy house. And wilt thou look upon us all together with an undeserved token out of heaven itself in this evening? We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Let us now sing from Psalter 272, stanzas 1 and 2. Lord, hear my prayer, and let my cry have ready access unto thee. When in distress to thee I fly, O hide not thou thy face from me. 1 and 2 of Psalter 272. Beloved congregation, the Lord Jesus has spoken of a house that was built upon a rock and a house that was built upon the sand, a house that was destroyed, a house that was washed away in the storm. Why? Because a foundation was lacking. Thus, if we lived in such a house and we slept peacefully in such a house, then our trust would have been in a shadow. The Lord Jesus, he speaks about the foundation of faith. We can have a good foundation for faith, or we can have a bad or no foundation for faith. Thus, a strong faith on no foundation is soul-destroying. But it is possible to have a weak faith upon a very good foundation, which is soul saving. Haman was very confident. And the day that he went in to dine with Esther and with the king, and Esther trembled. But Esther was delivered, and Haman was condemned. We can have a strong faith, but if that faith does not have a good foundation, then it will be to the destruction of our soul. Thus, upon what does our faith, if we say that we have faith, upon what does that faith rest? We want to consider something of that with you in this evening from the words of our text, which you can find from in John 19, as was read to you, in the verses 38 through 42. John 19, 38 through 42, and we will only read at this time verses 41 and 42. Now, in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. So far, the words of our text. The burial of Christ in two thoughts. First, by whom Christ was buried. And second, for whom Christ was buried. The burial of Christ, first by whom, and second, for whom he was buried. Thus, first, by whom he was buried. By whom was he buried? He was buried by two of his disciples. Whom do you think that they are, children? The disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Which of the disciples do you think has buried the Lord Jesus Christ? If you think about all of his disciples, maybe you say, well, Peter probably, he will be one of them, right? Peter, he was one that was always ready to do something out of love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe he did it with John. You say, John, he was the disciple whom Jesus loved. He was so close unto the Lord Jesus. But it was not Peter. Neither was it John. Who then? Oh, you say maybe it was Andrew and James. No, it wasn't Andrew and James. Maybe it was Philip, Levi, Matthew. No, it wasn't Philip. It wasn't Levi. Say, who was it then? Well, we read their names are Joseph and Nicodemus. Say, Joseph, Nicodemus? Joseph and Nicodemus, are they disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ? What do we read? We read, and after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus. Thus, there are more disciples or followers of the Lord Jesus than we know of. But the Lord knows all of his own disciples. What do we read of this Joseph of Arimathea? We read that he is an honorable counselor. Counselor was a man who was of the Sanhedrin. Thus, he was a member of the Sanhedrin. And he was an honorable counselor. Thus, he was one of the higher ranking members of that Jewish Sanhedrin. Thus, the Lord Jesus had his disciples also amongst the members of that Jewish Sanhedrin. Say, well, why do we not hear of this man before? Well, what do we read? That he was a disciple, but secretly. Secretly for fear. For fear of the Jews. He was afraid. He was afraid to come out openly as a disciple of the Lord Jesus. Was he afraid of the reproach that was connected to being a disciple of the Nazarene? Or he held also an office. Was he afraid that he would put out of his office? We do not know those things. Are you afraid of people? Are you afraid of the confession of the name of the Lord Jesus? Of what other people might say, of what other people might think, of what other people might do, that we will lose business in this world, that we will lose honor in this world, that we will lose a station in this world, that we will lose an office in this world? That is not good. Should we be ashamed of God? Should we be ashamed of the Son of God? And yet how often is it not a reality in the life of the visible church, but also how often not a reality in the life of God's true people? Then there are those of them that say in their own heart, I am afraid I cannot be a true disciple. Why not? Because there is fear. There is fear that lives in my heart. It is the fear of man. I'm afraid to come out. I'm afraid to speak. I tremble before the frown of my fellow man. That I am afraid that I love the praise of men more than the praise of God. And yet, in my heart, oh, then I can say in my heart, oh, when we sing that, I love the Lord, the fount of life and grace. Oh, I love to meditate on his word. I love to live according to his law. Being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews. Joseph was afraid. He was too afraid to confess before men. And yet, the Lord in his word, he still owns Joseph. The Lord sees Joseph. The Lord knows Joseph. He says he is one of my disciples. Joseph was afraid. But we do not read about fear now. No, we read actually just the opposite. That is a wonderful thing, because we read here that the Lord is suddenly strengthening this fearful disciple. And not only him, but also of a second fearful disciple. Who is that? Well, we can read it. There came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night. Thus, there came also Nicodemus. Well, we say, well, who was Nicodemus? Well, how does the Lord identify Nicodemus? How does the Lord tell us who Nicodemus is? He identifies him by his timidity, which at the first came to Jesus by night. Thus, he is the night disciple. Who is he? He is actually a Pharisee. He is a ruler of the Jews. The Lord Jesus said to him, called him, when he came to him, he called him a master in Israel. Is that not wonderful? The body of the Lord Jesus that needs to be buried. Who is now going to take care to bury the body of Jesus? A Pharisee and a member of the Sanhedrin. Who is going to take care of burying the body of Jesus? His father. His father. And it can be any man in the whole world that he will have to bury the body of his own son. Who is going to bury you, people of the Lord? And who is going to take care of your children after your death? Is that sometimes your concern? Or if the Lord cares for his people while they are awake, then we see the Lord cares for his people also when they are sleeping. Joseph and Nicodemus, suddenly they come forward. They are strengthened. They do not have that ability. It is not lying in their own character. No, they are strengthened by the grace of God. And the Lord gives them that strength in the midst of all of the enemies that are raging all around them. Oh, the timid amongst God's church. They can say sometimes, what will now the future bring in my life? Because I am always so fearful. And then I read in God's word that thou hast run with the footmen, and if they have wearied thee, how canst thou contend with horses? Oh, then they say, indeed, I am wearied by the footmen. With every little burden, oh, when those great burdens are coming, how then will I fare? Or if I am wearied in the land of peace, oh, how is it going to be? How will I fare in the swelling of the Jordan? Oh, the fears of the timid of the church of God. They can be so very many. And if those fears that are welling up before them had to be endured by their own strength and by their own courage, then it will be hopeless. But it is not hopeless. Why not? Because the case also of the secret disciples of the Lord, their case, that is also upon the Lord. Oh, then it can be so surprising how the Lord is bringing his children through those trials and afflictions, and one day even the swelling of Jordan. We have spoken of that in the past, an old elder, how he feared death his whole life long. And when that death came, then he said, "Is this dying?" All those secret disciples, they are also laying under the hand, under the heart of the Lord. And now of Joseph we read that he was a good man and a just, who himself also waited for the kingdom of God, who himself had not consented, we read, to the deed of them. That means he did not consent unto the deed of the rest of the Sanhedrin. How did that come out? Did he speak against the Sanhedrin? We do not read that. Perhaps he did not dare to do that. Maybe he just absented himself. We do not know. Oh, to be faithful in a time like this for the timid among the office bearers in God's church, that is often so very, very difficult. We also read that he was rich. And though he was rich, he did not despise a man who was so very poor. And though he existed amongst the upper class, he did not despise a man who was despised by so many in this world. That is, Jesus of Nazareth. And he did not despise a man who had to suffer. No, he loved him. He believed in him secretly. Do you also have a secret life? Life that is not known by anyone else, but that is only known unto the Lord. That is where true religion is. It is between the Lord and our soul. Joseph, look. Look, he is dead. Whom you loved, whom you trusted in, it is a good thing you didn't dare to say anything. Because now it is evident, his cause was not a right one. Oh, it is a good thing you said nothing. Because now, for sure, you will be mocked. But it is the opposite. That is grace. The courage of that man that becomes stronger in the death of Christ than it ever was in his life. It becomes stronger in the midst of the greatest trials. That is the trial of his crucifixion and his death. It is just now that he is strengthened, that he will go boldly in unto Pilate, and he will beg the body of Jesus. The very first deed, public deed, by which his secret discipleship will become known. Oh, God's children, they are a riddle. They are a riddle unto themselves. They do not understand it. But what did the Lord say to Nicodemus? The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, thou canst not tell whence it cometh. And whither it goeth, faith, that is a gift of God. and the strength of faith and the exercise of faith that is always a gift of God, worked by that Spirit that is blowing wherever that it listeth. Here a little, there a little. Not guided by man, but guided by the Father. And now it is just in this act of love, in this act of faith, that this Joseph finds a friend. He finds a friend in whom the Lord has planted that same love. In whom the Lord has planted that same faith. So the secret disciple, he meets the night disciple. How wonderful. How wonderful are the ways of God. Oh, maybe they had never known it of one another. Maybe they have never spoken about it to one another. But it is just in that trial of faith that the Lord is bringing these two men together. Do you have a soul friend? Maybe a person also that you had least expected, that does not dare to say it, does not dare to confess in the midst of the church, in the midst of the world. Or do you find yourself one in the love to God? Do you find yourselves one in the fear maybe of men, but certainly of sin? Maybe also of death. Do you find yourselves one? Or perhaps also in the love unto the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, together perhaps. Together, sometimes the Lord brings such persons together, especially in those times of trial, that they may be and help unto one another. After this, Joseph of Arimathea besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. Joseph did not steal that body. Joseph obtains that body legally. That is right. That is orderly. That body lay under the power of the magistrate, Pilate. Joseph has no right to that body. No, but he obtains a right. Pilate entrusts that body unto Joseph. Probably Pilate is surprised that such a man of such a rank, would have such a noble desire in his heart, because he has seen different of those scribes, those Pharisees, that Sanhedrin. And then it will be a surprise to him that there is a man of character among them, a man that has a desire to do such a noble deed, and Pilate has no desire to press that matter further than what he was forced to do by these Jews. Thus, he obtains a right to the body that all lays under the direction of the Father. The Father of his Son was watching over the body of his Son because the payment is finished. And now he will not allow that that body be mutilated any more than was necessary for the payment of that price. The price of sin is paid. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. That is a lot. 100 pounds. Probably. That is to make a bed. We read that about Esau. When he died, that they laid him upon a bed of sweet spices and of myrrh. And that was all by the art of the apothecary. Oh, you see, the love of this night disciple, that is something that becomes evident in his deeds. There is much talk. There is much talk in the world. There is also much talk in the church. And we often judge a man too much by his talk. He talks of faith. Yes, but what does Christ say? We shall know them by their talk? No. He says we shall know them by their deeds. Thus the quiet in the land. The quiet in the land make manifest that faith, that love, not by their talk. They make it manifest by their deeds. And the Lord sees them. And sometimes the more discerning and the more observant of God's children, they also are observing them. Oh, there may be much timidity in the way of assurance in the life of God's church. But what is now lying at the foundation? Love. Charity never faileth. Ask Joseph. Ask Nicodemus. Tonight, ask them, where is faith now? Ask them, where is hope now? They will not be able to answer those questions. But do you know what lives there? Love. And you may ask them about it, but you do not need to. Because you may observe it. What does the apostle say? Now abideth these three. Faith, hope, charity. But the greatest of these is charity. Because charity that will bring a man through every trial. That will bring a man through every affliction, especially in those days when they do not know where faith and where hope have gone anymore. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. Joseph, he was from Arimathea, that is from Ramah or Ramathaim. But he lived in Jerusalem, and there he had a garden, and in that garden he had a grave. Thus, Joseph was a man whom in his life has thought about death that he has in his very garden a grave that is hewn out of a rock, that every day that grave is before him. Joseph has a grave that is before him every day. He sees that grave. Each day when he gets up in the morning, every day when he goes to bed at night, then Joseph, he may meditate on what it means to be a pilgrim. A pilgrim. Do we also? Do we also live as a pilgrim here below? Joseph gives that grave. He gives that grave to the Lord Jesus. That is an act of love. That love that is not something that does only for reward. That is something that works even when there is no reward. Because when the Lord Jesus is dead, then in the thought of Nicodemus, then there is no reward for him giving that grave to the Lord Jesus anymore. He brings fine linen. Oh, then there is nothing. There is nothing that is too much for love to give unto his friend. Even for his body, that he may give him an honorable burial. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. They had to hurry. But that is all directed by his Father. Because he did not need, he would not need a full embalming. No, he would not need that grave very long at all. And his Father, he is placing him in a spot, oh, that is not far away in some remote place, but his Father is placing